Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're continuing with our study Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 30, Text 39 to 33 to 49, is it? What is that?
Microphone
closer. I get claustrophobic. That's why. Too close. All right.
You say 39 to 50?
I thought 33 to 49.
33 to 49.
Oh, all right. 38?
This paper is just 39.
All right. Then that's what it is. Sri Bhagavan Vacha.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha.
Abhirchare Tvamishtushta.
Abhirchare Tvamishtushta.
Kameshar Kitohime.
Kameshar Kitohime.
Yahi Tvam Madanugyata. Svargan Sukritinam Padam.
Svargan Sukritinam Padam.
Sri Bhagavan Vatsa.
Sri Bhagavan Vatsa.
Mabir Jaretam Uttishta.
Mabir Jaretam Uttishta.
Kama Isha Kritohime.
Kama Isha Kritohime.
Yahi Tvan Madanugyata. Svargan Sukritinam Padam. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Ma Bhai,
do not fear.
Jare, O Jara, Tvam, you, Uttishta,
please get up.
Kama, the desire. Esha,
this.
Kritaha,
done,
he, indeed, may, mine, yahi, go, tvam, you, mat anugyata, given permission by me, svargam, to the spiritual world, sukritinam, of the pious, padam, the abode. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
My dear Jara,
Do not fear.
Do not fear.
Please get up.
Please get up.
What has been done,
what has been done
is actually my own desire.
With my permission,
go now to the abode of the pious,
the spiritual world.
So I'll read the rest of the verses myself. So instructed by the Supreme Lord Krishna, who assumes his transcendental body by his own will, the hunter circumambulated the Lord three times and bowed down to him. Then the hunter departed in an airplane that had appeared just to carry him to the spiritual sky. At that time, Daruka was searching for his master Krishna. As he neared the place where the Lord was sitting, he perceived the aroma of tulsi flowers in the breeze and went in its direction. Upon seeing Lord Krishna resting at the foot of a banyan tree, surrounded by his shining weapons, Daruka could not control the affection he felt in his heart. His eyes filled with tears as he rushed down from the chariot and fell at the Lord's feet. Daruka said, just as on a moonless night, people are merged into darkness and cannot find their way, now that I have lost sight of your lotus feet, my Lord, I have lost my vision and am wandering blindly in darkness. I cannot tell my direction, nor can I find any peace. Shukadeva Goswami continued, O foremost of kings, while the chariot driver was still speaking, before his very eyes, the Lord's chariot rose up into the sky, along with its horses and its flag, which was marked with the emblem of Garuda. All the divine weapons of Vishnu rose up and followed the chariot. The Lord Janardhan then spoke to his chariot driver, who was most astonished to see all this. O driver, go to Dwarka and tell our family members how their loved ones destroyed one another. Also tell them of the disappearance of Lord Sankarshan and of my present condition. Purport. Lord Krishna sent his chariot driverless back to Vaikuntha, along with the horses and weapons, because the chariot driver, Daruka, had some final service to do on earth. Text. You and your relatives should not remain in Dwarka, the capital of the Yadavs, because once I have abandoned that city, it will be inundated by the ocean. You should all take your own families, together with my parents, and under Arjuna's protection, go to Indraprastha. You, Daruka, should be firmly situated in devotion to me, remaining fixed in spiritual knowledge and unattached to material considerations, understanding these pastimes to be a display of my illusory potency. You should remain peaceful. Purport. According to Shrita Jiva Goswami, the word to here emphasizes that Daruka is an eternally liberated associate of Lord Krishna, having descended from Vaikuntha. Therefore, even though others might be bewildered by the Lord's pastimes, Daruka should remain peaceful and fixed in spiritual knowledge. Text 50. Thus ordered, Daruka circumambulated the Lord and offered obeisances to him again and again. He placed Lord Krishna's lotus feet upon his head and then with a sad heart went back to the city. Thus in the purport of the humble servants of his divine grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 30th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Disappearance of the Yadav Dynasty. Om Jnana Tarandasya Jnanjana Shalakya Takshura Amitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva. Vandeham Shri Guru, Shiyata Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavam Stram. Shri Rupam Sagradatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tam Sajivam. Sadvaitam Savadukam Parijana Sayatam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Lalita Shri Vashatam Vitam. Vitam Stram. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu. Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopita Kanta, Radha Kanta the Moses Day, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavan Shri, Rishabhama Sukadevi, Sanami Hare, Vancha Kalpa Tiyubascha, Kripa Sundavidevacha, Patitanam Pavanega, Vaishnadeva, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitana, Prabhu Nityananda Shri, Vaita Vidadhar Shivasana, Shri Gaurava. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. It's a very powerful pastime. Lord Krishna's beginning to end his stay with all of the devotees. Lord Krishna, as we know, comes, as he tells us, Parichanaya Sadhanam Vanashya Jadiskutam Dharma Samstapanati Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. He descends. What is the translation of that? What? Parichanaya Sadhanam. What's the translation? He comes to deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants or the bad elements, and to reestablish religious principles. What's the other verse? Abhuta Dhammadharasya Taratanam Shijamaham. And what's the translation? What's the translation? Wherever there is a decline in religious principles, I descend myself. So Lord Krishna tells why he comes. And so he stayed for how long? 120 years? Was it? Amongst the residents of this earth, appearing to Vasudeva and Devaki, transferred to Nanda and Yashoda and Vrindavan, and staying there how long? How long he stayed in Vrindavan?
11 years.
11 years. And then he went to do what? Immediately. What did Lord Krishna go to do? To kill Kamsa. Yes, the big demon. It's a long time, 11 years, to be harassed by a dictator. How long was Saddam Hussein a dictator? Does anyone remember? It was something like that. You know, a decade or two. So the residents of Vrindavan and the surrounding area were harassed by Kamsa for so many years. He was harassing. But finally, Lord Krishna moved on to his next stage of his mission. And we may remember the pastime when Akuraji came to take him. And he explained to the gopis that I have some work to do, right? I have to go and kill the demons, but I will be back. And Lord Krishna, he did that, isn't it?
No.
No? What?
He didn't return.
No, well. Stayed. He went to Mathura and he killed Kavalyapita and eventually Kamsa and went to live with at the Gurukula. What was the spiritual master's name? Sandipani Muni. And we may reflect for a moment how the residents of Vrindavan were so mortified and they were so, so sad that Lord Krishna had left them because he was so charming, such a charming, beautiful personality. And he had saved them again and again from different troubles, such as what are some of the demons Lord Krishna killed in Vrindavan? Agasura, Trinavarta, Kaliya, Keshi, and most of the demons, as I remember, they directly put the residents of Vrindavan into peril, and they were feeling afraid, isn't it? Trinavarta and Keshi, and who else harassed the residents of Vrindavan? Indra, well, quite a demon, but he did his thing.
Yeah.
And Lord Krishna, he saved them. When Nanda Maharaj was being swallowed by the serpent, he called out, "Oh, my dear Krishna, please save me. There's no one that can save me but you." And Krishna came and saved him. So all of these different dealings, Lord Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan, when finally he went to Mathura, we can't begin to imagine how utterly grief-stricken they were. What was the description about the gopis? They watched the chariot go off into the distance until even the dust could not be seen. And they just stood there like painted pictures. So much in love with Krishna. And the Vaishnavacharyas explained to us that most of them are eternally liberated souls, and they have eternal love for Krishna. But from another perspective, Krishna, he gave them so many reasons, more reasons to love him. He protected them and saved them from so many difficult situations. And the same with the Pandavas. Is it Arjuna? He finally returns to, where does he return to? To Maharaj Yudhisthira? Is it in Hastinapur? Arjuna returns, and he's feeling so grief-stricken after the disappearance of Lord Krishna and all of the Yadava dynasty, and Maharaj Yudhisthira is asking him, what really happened? You seem so disturbed. And Arjuna, he replies in part, describing how that personality, Krishna, who helped us in so many different ways, who protected us again and again, that dear friend of ours, he has left. Such heartfelt emotion and feeling of the devotees for Krishna. And here, Daruka, the chariot driver of Arjuna, of Lord Krishna, he is in the same situation that his beloved Lord and Master Krishna is soon to leave this planet, to end his manifest pastimes. But Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, tells Daruka that you have some work to do. There's some other service that I want you to do. And don't be bewildered by all of this. And so in the purport, it's interesting. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the word two here emphasizes that Daruka is an eternally liberated associate of Lord Krishna, having descended from Vaikuntha. Therefore, even though others might be bewildered by the Lord's pastimes, Daruka should remain peaceful and fixed in spiritual knowledge. So even though Lord Krishna is having this lila of being shot in the ankle by the arrow of who? Jara. Who, we see so utterly fortunate. What a blessed soul that so transcendental Lord Krishna is. You know, sometimes at the supermarket, if someone bumps into someone else with a cart, they become so upset, you know. But here, Lord Krishna has been shot in the ankle by this hunter. And, of course, Krishna is Krishna, but so loving. That, no problem. This is all meant to be. Not only that, but you return to the spiritual world. So this is transcendental. Srila Prabhupada described in a few places that one example of transcendental is the land of Vrindavan, where all the different animals live in peace and they don't live in animosity. Whereas in this material world, there is so much competition. This material world is a place of people competing for sense gratification, just to stay alive, or for prestige, that I have the best this, I have the best that, my sports team, the Gators, is the best, you know, best house, best car, all of this. And then there's envy and jealousy. Someone wants to have those things, someone else has them, you become jealous, become envious. Envy is such a horrible thing. Because I'm a fallen soul, I certainly experience a little envy. And it's such an awful thing, you know. Even I've seen there can be two people who are friends, and then somehow one person becomes jealous of the other. They can hardly talk to the person. Very interesting thing. Sometimes you can know someone's mind like that. That whereas previously they used to be friendly and say hello, and all of a sudden they're all choked up. They can hardly look at you, you know, because they're feeling often envious and jealous. They can't be friendly. Oh, hurry, Bo, hurry. No, I feel a little hateful. So Srila Prabhupada, he gives an example of transcendence, of this transcendental personality, that in the spiritual realm, everything is satchitananda. It is eternally full of knowledge and full of happiness. Everyone is happy. Everyone is fulfilled. No one needs anything. No one is hankering for anything. Mam cha yovi apicharina bhakti yogena sevate sadhanam samatitaitan brahma bhuyaya kopate. That by engaging in full devotional service, one rises to the level of Brahman, and then one becomes brahma bhuyaya kopate. One becomes uplifted from the influence of the three modes of material nature. And we see in the narratives of the associates of Lord Krishna, and more recently in the associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, such beautiful persons, you know, so free of envy and so kind and compassionate. As Srila Haridas Thakur, he was described that he was beaten in many different marketplaces. And so finally, the servants of the king, they were supposed to, the Nawab, were supposed to beat him to death, and he wasn't dying. And he knew that they would get in trouble. So he said, oh, I better die, I shouldn't die. So he faked or went into a yogic, a mystic trance so that they would think that he had left and would be able to tell their master. They put him in the, what was it, the Ganga? And he got out shortly thereafter. But such a beautiful heart, that what to speak of being vengeful and angry. He was concerned for their welfare. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're going to get in trouble. And I don't want you to get in trouble. So it's just so beautiful. And Srila Prabhupada points out the example of Jesus also, that Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So if we contrast that, if we think about it, if I think about my own mind, because I'm a fallen soul, or different people I hear about, sometimes the smallest offense, you just touch. Oh, right? Oh, they said this about me. Oh, I'm going to get back at them. How dare they? Right? All of that. So Srila Prabhupada, in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he gives some instruction about how to overcome this tendency to be vengeful or to feel personally offended. That 12th chapter. Would anyone like to share? It's in the 12th chapter. Srila Prabhupada describes the benchmark of what we should try to mold our thinking towards. So he writes that when a devotee is in a system, in a situation of reverses, or in a difficult situation, the devotee should think that I am so fortunate, I'm getting far less than what I deserve. And I must have done something to deserve this. And he goes on to say that as the devotee thinks like that, then even in very distressful, difficult situations, the devotee will be able to remain calm and peaceful. Or, for me, more calm, more peaceful. That's an amazing, powerful thing, because sometimes regularly, we are put into situations, I know I am, adibodhik, adidaivik, what's the other one? Adiatma, situations of pain and trouble, our body, our mind, other people around us, just the nature of this world, we lose our job, our employer, the weather, and it hurts. And sometimes the tendency is to become really upset and angry. Why is this happening to me? Why do I have to experience this? And, sometimes we see people, they even go on for weeks and months and years with an attitude of vengefulness. I'm going to get back at these people. But my dear sir, my dear woman, it's just a result of your own activities. What are you getting upset about? Look in the mirror and see the person who really is perpetrating these things upon you. Yes. And it's not an easy thing to digest, because we have been in this material world for so long, and the tendency is to blame others instead of taking responsibility. And it's hard. Lord Krishna, when Arjuna asked Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the 6th chapter that you've explained to me the system of yoga, but it's so difficult. How could I ever do it? And what does Lord Krishna say? A couple of things. Who remembers? How did Lord Krishna reply? By practice and detachment. So Srila Prabhupada writes that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, by our worshiping them, they will give as part of their kindness, they will put us into situations so that we can manifest our original qualities. And so we are encouraged to think that when we are put into a situation, an interpersonal situation, or something with our body, whatever the grind is, that here is a situation to practice this Trinada Pisa Nichina, Tarora Pisa Hishina, which the Vaishnava Charyas describe hinges in part on these two things. One is, I am not this body or the mind. And two, whatever is happening, it is a result of my own activities. And I have no one to blame but myself. And therefore we have Jesus Christ. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Or Shri Haridas Thakur. Now, the other side of it, because, you know, well, what does that mean? I should just allow myself to be abused? I should let my husband, my employer, my whoever abuse me? No. Absolutely not. We have no obligation to remain in a situation of physical or emotional abuse. And whoever is the instrument of our suffering, they must be dealt with in the way that they should be dealt with. Absolutely. As soon as possible. But for myself, we are encouraged to have this internal attitude so that we don't become, for one thing, we don't become lost in the whole thing of, you know, vengeance and anger. Because what happens is that if we become vengeful and we take retribution, which isn't proper, then it'll just come back to us again, and it's just a vicious cycle that happens again and again. And it gets cut by this not allowing ourselves to get caught again. And I know I have lots of progress to make on this, you know. But, you know, like all of us, I have been put into situations which have given me an opportunity to practice a little bit. You know? So it's, I remember going, there was an employer that I was with for 6 years, and there were some personal situations that I was in for many, many years. And, you know, sometimes I would, because, you know, I'm no one special, I would become upset that why is this happening? I think. But, you know, gradually I became, you know, I took shelter. I tried to take shelter of this instruction, and it truly did wonders. And I could understand that this is practice for the time of death. Because at the time of death, that will be the final offense, so to speak. The final affront. We're being kicked out of this body. And as far as possible, we are to remember Lord Krishna so that we can go back to him. And as much as our mind and heart can be peaceful and calm, we will be able to do that even at the time of death without protesting or fighting. You see? So just as Lord Krishna is returning to his own abode, so of course we also have to leave this world. And by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the chance to understand Krishna. And what is the benefit of that? What is one of the prime benefits, Lord Krishna says, of understanding him? Janma karma? What's that verse? Jakshatad purapanna. Janma nameti mameti. And what is the translation? Transcendental nature of my appearance and disappearance and my activities will return to me and never take birth again. Well, how wonderful. So the difficulties in our life, they help us to prepare. So we'll stop here. Any discussion or comments?
In Madhu Jagadamani, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, there has to be standard of measurement for all these unwanted things, whether it's anger or abuse or anything that pushes me to come closer to Sadhu and Krishna, Guru Krishna, I should accept it. And anything that takes me away, I should run away faster. Otherwise, I mean, there is a moral code, law of different country, different state, different culture. Like if you go to Burma, they don't like the smell of prasadam, ghee, but they eat the old rotten food. That's their culture, but that's not spiritual standard. So similarly, some culture may promote some things is ethical, something not ethical in another culture. But is it bringing to Krishna? That's the point. If it reminds me to Krishna, it brings to Guru Krishna more close, then that should be the standard all over the world.
Thank you. I had a question. How might we know when we should leave a situation or stop some activity which is painful, rather than try and humbly accept it? When, how will we know that, no, this is not good, I should go?
The testing machine is within.
What is that?
Testing machine. What test that this is bringing me too close to Krishna is within each of us. Am I feeling more close to Guru Krishna, then I'll be chanting. It should show outside. I'll be happy to see the devotees. And if I'm not feeling that means it is not.
Yeah, I remember some difficult situations I was in trying to practice that. And although it was painful, within my heart, I was feeling very close to Krishna, actually. And kind of like when you exercise, when you run 5 miles, it hurts. But maybe it's the endorphins. You'll also feel kind of blissful. So actually, Dalek is described by Prahlad Maharaj, about Prahlad Maharaj, that for a devotee, according to the depth of our devotion, even when we are in a hellish condition, we will feel all right, you know. But, so then my question was, though, you know, I have my limits, you know, I'm not a pure devotee, you know, I get a bad headache and I have to lay down. But, so I'm thinking that, like you said, that if our mind is becoming too disturbed and we're not able to think of Krishna and we're just feeling pained and miserable and bitter, then perhaps that's a time when we really need to consider that I need to change this job or change this situation. What do you think?
But according to Deva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when there is unwanted, unexpected circumstances that creates a big disturbance in the mind that I cannot focus on Krishna, then I must pray. The whole purpose of suffering is to come back to Krishna, not to run away from Krishna. So if I am facing something that I cannot focus on chanting, that's the time that naturally came that I can be very close to Guru Krishna, that, oh, please help me, please help me. Otherwise, normally I don't pray. It's being true.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, but I think there's a point. I know there's a point for me.
Yeah.
That, you know, as Lord Krishna states in the third chapter, Falga Vairagya Uchite, right? That there's a point until we're completely liberated souls, at which we do need to sometimes make adjustments. Yeah?
Yes.
So I'm thinking that, so like, I'm only going to have a bowl of rice every day for the next 3 weeks. And I'm going to but if, as a result of that activity, I'm just thinking about eating and I'm feeling miserable, then it's time to adjust my adjusting. I always remember, like I was in this situation. So I remembered that, all right, it's my fault. It's just coming back at me. I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, like this. And let me pray to Krishna. And I did that, and it worked. But not always. And sometimes I had to go home. I would say I'm feeling a little ill. I have to go home because it was too much.
There's a hand over here.
Yes.
I am coming back. Just one second. That Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says that there is a very distinct between self-pity and humility. If I focus so much on myself that I'm fallen, I'm no good, but am I encouraged for that to approach Guru Krishna and chanting more? Mm-hmm. And if I'm feeling so much about myself, I'm putting myself in the center instead of Krishna, and I go away, that is self-pity, it's not humility.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Some other comments about this?
I was just thinking that, yeah, sometimes we're in a situation that we may need to go, but I think it's our consciousness is that we understand, not that we justify. Well, we may justify in the sense of feeling like I'm not able to do it. If I was on a certain platform, yes, I should be able to stay. But the fact is that I'm not, and therefore I'm unable to be in the situation and ask forgiveness from Krishna, the dear Lord Krishna, if I was on that platform. Mm. But I'm not, and for me, my Krishna consciousness is getting worse. So please help me to purify me, but this situation is a little hard for me. And sometimes we're in a situation that we do it for temporary reasons we may have to do, and then Krishna allows us. But I think the consciousness...
Mm. I got some realization about that myself. I have seen within myself that sometimes I have not approached Krishna for help. Not because, pure devotees don't pray to Krishna. But actually, I was proud. And I was actually not being humble enough to ask for the help I truly want. It's an interesting thing how that can be. There was someone I knew, a devotee, was in the Philadelphia temple, and this devotee would sometimes ask in class, should we pray to Krishna for material things? I don't think so, because, pure devotees are not supposed to do that. And this devotee, a sincere devotee, but was always cranky and in a bad mood, almost always difficult to deal with. And it was obvious that this devotee was not rightly situated. So finally, they got what they wanted. They moved out. They got their own apartment. Came still doing the same, but they were so happy. A whole different mood. Because they were rightly situated. So when it reaches such a point that the Krishna consciousness is not going on, then as Mother Madhumati said, that, I'm sorry. It's too much for me. I'm not on this level. I'm not a gopi who never prays for anything. I'm far from it. So, but at the same time, not being slack or indulging in sense gratification. Or, always pushing. But we all have some point, I think. What do you think? Yeah? Yeah. Prabhu?
I too went through some difficulty in my life within the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty extreme. I work with mental health people. Mm-hmm. And there's a term, homicidal ideation. And I actually felt that towards who I perceived as an enemy. Mm-hmm. However, he was interfering with my child's life. And so I couldn't just give up and go away. I was totally disturbed. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep, and it was, but because I felt I couldn't give up on my child. I had to persevere. And with prayer, and it makes me think of Arjuna, where he was on the battlefield and had to kill his uncles and nephews. And sometimes you do have to get through it, you know.
Get through it?
Get through a horrible, difficult point in your life.
Just tolerate it.
Well, not just tolerate it. Pray for guidance. Pray for perseverance.
Without leaving it.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's where you have to kind of find what you have to do, you know. And in time, my mind actually has become, I'm able to, you know, I can't help but use some of the terms we use with our people that I work with, but you compartmentalize, and like put it in a box and put it on the shelf until you need it. Then you get it down and you unwrap it. Then.
Thank you. Jaya, glory to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Hare Krishna.